Okay. Parshas Vayechi. Shischa on the Parsha. We're going to start from Reb Simcha Bonim. Simcha Bonim himself, from Shischa. We know that this week's Parsha is all about Yaakov getting older and living out his, 17 years with Yosef, I think it says, right?
Mm-hmm.
17 years with Yosef, the end of his life. And when he's getting older, obviously, you know, things start to... His body starts to shut down in different ways. And the Pasuk tells us, Ve'nei Yisrael kavdu mizoken, that Yaakov Avinu's eyesight deteriorated. Who else's eyesight deteriorated? Yitzchak. Yitzchak's eyesight deteriorated, which is why Yaakov was actually able to steal the bracha from Esav. Right? If it wasn't for the deterioration of Yitzchak's eyesight, so then Yitzchak would have easily seen that it wasn't really Esav, it was really Yaakov dressed up as Esav. And even so, there are indications that Yitzchak knew within the psukim, right? He says himself. Depends who you ask.
Well, I'm asking you.
You're asking me.
What did you make?
I usually make a mizonos on it. The Pasuk tells us that his eyes were deteriorated. Yeah, and Yitzchak's eyes were deteriorated. But there's another comparison. There's another parallel between the two of them. You okay over there?
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you any milk because you're eating chon.
That's okay. I don't need it.
You don't need it. You look like you need it.
Tough guy here.
It's
good.
The other parallel between the stories is not just that he lost his eyesight, but what he does with his children and his grandchildren. Yeah. If you remember back by Yitzchak, what does it say? The Pasuk tells us, Gishana Ushkali Bini. Right? After he says, Akol Kol Yaakov Ayadayim De Esav, so Yitzchak says to what he thinks is Esav, come close to me, my son, and let me kiss you, or you kiss me. Right? And similarly, in this week's parsha, when Yosef brings Menashe and Ephraim to Yaakov, so what does the pasuk say? Vene Yisrael kavdu mizoken vayasam lahem vayishak lahem vayichabek lahem, that he also hugs them and kisses them. So Reb Simcha Bonim, when he was on his deathbed, says to his grandchildren are brought before him for brachas, and he also says to them, you know, when Yitzchak and Yaakov were later on in their years and they were on their deathbeds, they couldn't see. They couldn't see, and they came to their grandchildren and said, why don't you come and give me a hug, give me a kiss? Says Reb Simcha Bonim, why did they say such a thing? Because we have, in the way, the chesed of Hashem, we have the ability to see people. We have the ability to make eye contact. And he says, once that eye contact is no longer there, we lose a very important bridge of intimacy. We lose that connectivity. We lose that ability to give over our affection in our eyes. And he says, once you lose that ability to give over the affection through your eye contact, so the avos made up for it by giving a hug and a kiss, which means just naturally by the transitive property, that giving someone eye contact, looking them in the eye, showing them your affection, is itself a form of a hug. Is itself a form of connection, of intimacy. And says Reb Simcha Bonim, I'm also on my deathbed and I can't see very well. So he says, I need a hug and a kiss for my grandchildren because I can't give over to them the love that I have for them with my eyes. Usually I would, but now I can't. I think it's a message which is particularly relevant for our day, and something I spoke about in my tryout Shabbos a little bit, the importance of eye contact and nonverbal communication. The more and more people connect through Facebook and through social media and through text messages and through even FaceTime or whatever it is, the less we get connected with our nonverbal communication. I remember when one of the hardest things I ever did in my life, I'm only half joking when I say that, is interviewing for this job. Because when I had to interview for this job, so they say, oh, we're going to do it on Skype. Okay, not as good as in person, but at least I can see other people. Well, turned out within 30 seconds of the interview, was anyone here there? Anyone here on the interview? You were there? Anyone remember what happened? You don't remember because on your end it was fine. On my end, I was staring at Aaron Clyde with his mouth wide open for an hour. An entire hour. The screen froze and that's all I had to look at. And I'll tell you, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to talk meaningfully to people when you can't really see their eyes, and you can't see their faces, and you can't have the same eye contact. At least you have the verbal cues and the affection in one's voice, but it's very difficult to really connect with another person when you can't see them, and you can't look them in the eye.
I thought you were going to go in a
completely
different direction.
So we also say, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichunecha. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yasem Lecha Shalom. What does all this panav mean? Says the Torah to me, it means when Hashem is acting affectionately towards you, He's looking at you. Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. Right? He's looking at you. He's putting His face towards you. There are other psukim in Navi, that the Jewish people are panu alai oref, that the Jewish people turn their back to the Hashem. And when they turn their back to Hashem, that means they're not looking face to face. Love and intimacy is based on eye contact and based on facial cues and communication. If we can't do that, so then we lose a little bit of intimacy. So when Reb Siv Chabanim came to his deathbed, he modeled himself after Yaakov and after Yitzchak, who both, when they lost their eye contact, they can no longer see other people and give over, convey that intimacy with that affection with their eyes, they had to resort to a hug and a kiss. That's just a quick word for our day from Reb Simcha Banim. The Shem Yishmuel has a very difficult, it sets a very difficult bar for all of us to get to. And he also quotes Reb Simcha Banim in some ways, but I'll speak to it a little more generally. Continuing in that story, we have Yaakov Avinu at his deathbed trying to give a bracha to Menashe and Ephraim. And as we know, the whole story goes, we spoke about it on the Tuesday shiur, you can listen to it online, that when it comes to the bracha he gives to Menashe and Ephraim, he not only gives them brachos, but he also determines their future, or at least dictates their future, and not necessarily determines, although we talked a little bit about that on Tuesday. But he switches the hands. He gives the main bracha to Ephraim, and he gives the other bracha to Menashe. He says they're both going to be great. Gamhu yigdal, v'achiv haraton yigdal mimenu. But the younger brother is going to be even greater. We talked on Tuesday about the Targum Yonason over there that talks about how that bracha, that b'chayiv arech Yisrael, that Yaakov Inu says, everyone's going to bless their children like Menashe and Ephraim. Which is true. We do it on for our boys on Friday night. Right, Yisim Chalukim Ephraim Kamenasha, because of Yaakov Avinu, and we said on Tuesday that there's another option that Targum Yonason says that it's really referring to a bris milah. We give a bracha based on Menashe and Ephraim, or Ephraim and Menashe at a bris milah. When do we give a bracha based on Ephraim and Menashe at a bris milah? Does anyone know? In what way do we refer to Ephraim and Menashe?
That wasn't the naming.
No. So the Peirush Yonason.
They were circumcised in Golis.
Okay, interesting. There are connections there we talked about. But the Targum Yonason implies it's got the bris milah. The Peirush Yonason says, from somebody else, he doesn't give the full name, so I don't know who it was, but he says that it's from the fact that we say at a bris, Zeh HaKatan Gadol Yehiyah. How is that a connection to Ephraim and Menashe? Because that's what Yaakov Avinu says to Ephraim, or he says to Yosef about Ephraim. Achiv hakaton yigdal mimenu. Ephraim, who's now the younger child, he's a little boy. You might not see how he's going to be so great, but one day he's going to have a Yehoshua ben Nun. He's going to have someone who's going to lead the Jewish people. Rashi says he's going to give out. He's going to give out the lots of the land. He's going to be the one to dictate to bring the Jewish people into Israel. He's going to be the one to teach the Jewish people Torah for the generation after Moshe Rabbeinu.
So he will need a greater blessing.
Okay, that's what he means. Zakatan gadol yeyeh, and zakatan yigdal mimenu. By Ephraim, that's what we say at a bris. The Shem Yishmuel picks up on a different part of the interaction, and that is when Yaakov Avinu switches his hands. What are the words that the pasuk says when he switches his hands?
Yadaiti b'nimi, yadaiti.
Well, that's in his response you're right. And okay. The question is, what are the yadathis going on? There's a whole midrashic explanation of that. Vayishlach Yisrael esimino vayashasarof al rosh Ephraim, v'huat tzair. He put his right hand on Ephraim, and he's the younger one. V'yasama al rosh Menashe, and he put his left hand on Menashe. Sikel es yadav. What does it mean? See, first of all, it's interesting that the pasuk feels the need to summarize what's going on. We already know, you just told us, he switches hands. And now he's saying, by the way, I don't know if you picked up on this, but Sikel es yadav, right? He switches hands. So what does the word Sikel es yadav mean?
seichel.
Presumably with seichel. It's not exactly what Rashi says, but presumably with seichel, the Targum Unkel says, ach kimanun liadohi. He puts wisdom into his hands. Ach ki manun liadohi. Like the word chachma. Seichel. He did something consciously with forethought. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Nir Lefarish, Shehichnis ha-chachma gam be'evarei hayadayim. He was able to bring into his hands wisdom, even into the limbs of his hands. V'chein hu b'Ibn Ezra. And that's the Ibn Ezra, the grammarian, the Ibn Ezra, the Pashtan, the one who always tried, the rationalist who's trying to understand it according to its simplest and most literal understanding. Says the Ibn Ezra, Yadav hiskilo, hiskilu mashu rotelasos. His hands understood what Yaakov Avinu wanted to do. Meaning that his hands themselves had an ability, had a conscious, they were dealing with something, they were intuiting what Yaakov Avinu wanted. That's what it means, sikel esedav. Sikel usually happens in the mind. What does it mean, sikel esedav? He put intelligence into his hands. Meaning, even his body had intelligence, not just his mind. Says the Shem Yishmuel like this, and he quotes a different few psukim. He says it's also Reb Simcha Bonham has an interesting idea about it. But he says this is what the Medjur tells us by Tehillim Kuf Yotes and Tes. By David HaMelech, David says, "Chashavti darchei v'ashiva ragli al edosecha." I contemplated my ways. I contemplated my paths. V'ashiva ragli al edosecha. What does it mean? V'ashiva ragli al edosecha. My feet, my legs, brought me back to your wisdom, or to your testimony, meaning to Torah. What does that mean? Midrash. B'chol yom ani mechashev. Says David HaMelech, every single day I think to myself, ulemakom ploni, ulebeis dira ploni esani holech. I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go to this person's house, I'm going to go to this storefront. Every day I think I'm going to go to another store or to somebody's house. And what do my feet do? My feet say, sorry, you're not going over there. You're going to shul. My feet say, sorry, you're not going over there. You're going to study. You're going to learn. No matter where I wanted to go, my feet would always bring me back to the shul. My feet would only bring me back to the base medrash. V'zu ha'isa midasol she'akov. She'gufo nasa sichli. Even his body became wise, became intelligent. V'gam gufo hiskil la'akim as Ephraim. And his body itself knew that Ephraim was more important in this situation. V'ze she'akov tikin tefilas arvis. That's what it means, that Yaakov established Mariv. What is Mariv? We know that not only k'neged avos tiknum, but k'neged karbanos tiknum. Right? What were the karbanos? Shachris was the tamid. Mincha is the other tamid. So then what's Mariv?
The burning of the remaining everything.
What are you burning?
All the offerings that day. That
what are they what burning. Are they called? You don't burn offerings. You can't bring offerings.
No, there's no new offerings. It's
the leftovers, which are called?
Yeah.
The Evarim. What are Evarim? Evarim are limbs.
Right.
Says the Shem Yishmuel, ki ikar hakarban hu hadam hu hanefesh, aval evarim upidarim heim l'umas guf hadam, v'hu elas haguf l'madregas hanefesh. That we turn, at Mariv, we turn the body into a soul. We make the leftover limbs, we turn those into Kedusha too. It's not just the blood, which is the essence of the karban during the daytime, which we bring to Hashem, but it's even the body, even afterwards, even the evarim. Right? We burn the evarim, and that itself is an avoda. It's not necessarily a karban, but it's an avoda. So he says, that's why Yaakov is the one that was mesakin tefilas arvis. Because Yaakov is the one that sikel es yadav. He was able to put a holiness and an intuition, a spiritual intuition into his body. Now I bring this up specifically this week because, as you may know, you may not know, but as you may know, this week is also a special Shabbos around the country, maybe internationally too. We have these pamphlets out that you might see, fairly colorful, called Team Shabbos by the National Association of I forgot what they call themselves, the Chever Kadisha National Organization. And it's read by Rabbi Zohn in Queens, who I had the privilege to learn a little bit from at YU. And it's a weekend to focus on end-of-life issues. People who maybe are thinking about their halachic wills, they're thinking about their ethical wills, they're thinking about, you know, burial plots, they're thinking about how to deal with their aging parents, whatever it might be. This is that weekend where we try to think about it and at least bring awareness to a lot of these issues. And one of the bigger issues that's going on in the larger Jewish community, not Baruch Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, not in the Lo Aleinu, not in the Orthodox community, is but the decision between burial and cremation. There are some non-Orthodox Jewish institutions that allow cremation. What's very important for us to remember is that despite the fact that we believe that our main existence is our soul, and that that's what predates us, that's what's going to postdate us, that's eternal, we also have to remember that our bodies are sanctified too. Through the fact that they have housed our souls, they transform our bodies. And Yaakov Avinu was the person that was able to do this even during his lifetime, consciously, to make his body into a vessel of holiness. Sikele Sedav means that he was able to embed within even his physical body the intelligence and the wisdom of how to lead a Torah life and how to properly sanctify his physical being to Hashem. And that's what it means, Sikele Sedav. His hands knew what to do. His hands knew that Ephraim was going to become the forefather of Yehoshua. And that's what it means that he was Mesakin Tfilas Arvis, because for him, the Eivarim, the limbs of a body, are also to be vehicles of sanctification. So we have to remember, specifically on this Shabbos, but all the time, that our bodies are sacred. Our bodies are not just something that we think of as Olam Hazeh vessels that we can do away with after we're done with them. But they themselves have become holy through the fact that we do things with them that are for Hashem. We do Avodas Hashem with them. And because of that, we have to treat them with a greater respect. And we learn that from Yaakov Avinu, who did it to a greater extent than most any other people. David HaMelech had a similar thing with his legs, that his legs would always bring him back to the right places, to the shul and to the Beis Medrash. Even if he was thinking of going somewhere else, his legs, his body itself, was a conduit of Kedusha. So we have to remember that specifically on this Shabbos, as we join together with the rest of the country and recognizing the importance of end-of-life care, especially afterlife care. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos and a meaningful bat mitzvah weekend here at the Young Israel. Hopefully we'll be back in our regular spot next week, but we have to make sure not to ruin the carpet.
That's right. Because so that, we're that big. We're the catch.